Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hello, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very powerful friend, Mr.
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen.
Well, the Mr. for the world.
Yes, I am pleased that you are here, because I have some good questions for you today.
Are we asking
questions again? Yeah. Well, your knowledge of the Bible is second to none. I put you right up there with Ravi Zachariah and very knowledgeable people.
Don't do that.
You have a lot of knowledge that our listeners would like to hear, and I think you're able to share it much easier than some of those like Ravi, who was so sophisticated you have to listen very carefully to catch every syllable because his words are so deep. But I like the way you speak, so I figured that if I ask you some of these questions, our listeners will say, hey, that guy knows what he's talking about, and he can explain it in a way that I understand. Okay. So that's what makes you a powerful person here in this program.
Give me a question.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
All right, here, I'll give you a good one. Does God laugh or have a sense of humor? How about that one?
Well, there's not very much about that in the Bible, but I think in a verse or two I could answer that question, okay?
Yeah.
He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, Psalm 2. And if it be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which weren't not astray.
Yeah. Well, that's a sense of humor. I agree with you. I'm right with you there.
I think that tackles the whole subject.
That's about it.
Next question.
I can't think of any other lines in the Bible.
Next question, and I'm giving it to you.
Okay, Socrates.
It's your turn.
See if I can handle one.
What brings pleasure to God?
What brings pleasure to God? Okay. Hey, how about Luke chapter 12, verse 32? You know what it says? It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How about what it's to say in Philippians chapter 2? For it is God which worketh in both, you will and to do of his good pleasure. That's pretty powerful, too. That brings pleasure. How about Revelation chapter 4? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So that brings pleasure to God. That's very clearly written. John writes that in the fourth chapter of Revelation. So,
good answer. Good answer.
Yeah. Well, we have to find a little bit of research to find some scripture to cite those questions. Let me give you one. Here's a short one, too, because I couldn't find much on this answer. Will God help me fight my battles? Well, that's a fair question to ask. Will God help me fight my battles?
Hey, my life has been full of battles.
Yes, all can say that.
Whatever I did was a battle.
And it never came easy to me either.
I went to my church, and they were doing everything different than what I ever did. Mm-hmm. I went to the pulpit thinking, I would never have done this. Mm-hmm. And so they listened because God helped me fight my battle.
Okay.
I never went to the pulpit to say, hey, this is Dave Colonen. I always went to the pulpit and said, this is what God's word says.
Yes.
You know, we had the best piano player in America, a young lady. Uh-huh. She could play at the piano with her eyes closed and up and down the keyboard and every key thought possible and without a miscue. She was absolutely incredible. And everybody told me when I got there, boy, you just watch what you got the best music person in the world.
Good.
And she came and she did that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I was totally impressed. The church loved her. And one day it came to my attention that she worked on Saturday night in the... In the place where you know, the beer garden. She worked in the place of booze. And every Saturday night, she went there and worked from like 4 to 12 and played for all these people getting drunk. And then all of a sudden, she went to bed and got at 9 o'clock in the morning. She was sitting at my piano teaching my people how to reverence God. And I was just new there, you know. I said, "Oh man, another problem, another battle." Yeah. God, come on, help me! This is ridiculous. And the next week, I fired her.
Did you?
Well, can you imagine ruckus?
Oh my, yes.
Our new pastor fired the finest piano player in America.
Yeah.
And when we went to look for another piano player, we got Sister So-and-So at 80 years of life playing with one finger. And then everybody's like, look at that. Pastor got the grandma with one finger playing the piano. And we went from the best to the worst.
Oh, my.
So I fought some battles.
Yeah, I guess that's a battle.
I fought some real battles.
Yes.
It seemed like. Yeah, for the first year, every Sunday I had the biggest battle of my life. But boy, did I learn.
Yeah.
They didn't realize that I had been in Barbados for 3 years. Uh-huh. And those were godly people.
Oh, yes.
They are godly people.
They are godly people in Barbados.
They ride the bus if they have to, and they spend $7 to get there. And they say, if you don't preach for an hour and bring the power of God down, I wasted my money and I'm not coming back next week unless you promise you'll do that.
Well, you did it.
When I went to the church, the people said to me, we're voting tomorrow, and you tell us that you've been preaching for an hour in Barbados, and if you preach for an hour here, you will never get the church. So I told Judy on the way to church, I said, Judy, I know you're all tensed up to think that are we going to get this church or not? Are we going to move to Iowa from Barbados?
Yeah.
And I said, just relax. We can't get to church anyway. We'll never get it. So just do your thing. Happy-go-lucky, just I'll preach and I'll just roar it out because I've been preaching an hour for 3 years here in Barbados and it'll be easy, come easy, go today. And we went to church, and they said, okay, here's the pastor. And they said, if you preach more than 20 minutes, you will never, ever get the church. Well, I preached in an hour.
Did you?
The people were so hungry.
Yeah.
They were starving.
Yeah, starving for the good news.
And, at the end of the day, I preached two messages, morning and night, an hour each, and ready to walk away and move on back to Barbados or to some other place. And they came back and they said, whoa, the people voted, and you are our new pastor.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And I said, okay.
yeah.
It's amazing what
what
people are thinking and what they are like.
That's right.
And that was a battle for me to think, what am I going to do about, am I going to brief up my message and just piddle away at what I do in the pulpit and make it easy? Put a piece of cake. I can go to there without studying, do 20 minutes.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
But God said, hey, I'll fight your battle with you. It says in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies
and
to save you. What do you think about that kind of a scripture?
That's powerful scripture. That is powerful scripture.
Does the Lord help you with your battles?
Oh, my, yeah.
At your age, you still have battles?
Oh, my, yes.
Is the radio station here a battle for you?
Oh, my. You think this is a cakewalk? You try my shoes for a week. No, it's a
You think you can do better? Come on down. We'll give you the microphone.
Yeah, it's rewarding. And anytime you're doing a Christian work, whether you're in the pulpit or at the radio station, you have to put your best foot forward. And you can't be dragging your feet. So, there's a focus point here that can't be ignored. It's not like some people in Iowa might have left the piano player continue playing, even though she was not obviously fell into the category of being religious and not a Christian. There's a difference. I think we talked about that last week. And there's a difference. So you have to, if you're not filled with the Spirit of the Lord in your work, it will show. It will show. Because we have a lady at our church who plays a piano with no book in front of her at all. And she is extremely talented. I should have loaned her to you years ago when you were in Iowa. She doesn't have a book in front of her at all. She plays it all by ear.
Yeah, but what if you heard tomorrow that she plays in the nightclub?
She does. She is the finest Christian lady I've ever met. I have no fear of that. I've known her since I was a youngster.
I'm being facetious.
Yes, I know. But I'm saying that it can make a difference. And this is talented people. There's a difference between a Christian person and a religious person. And the lady at our church is definitely a Christian lady. In fact, we play her music here at the station sometimes.
Wonderful.
She's very talented with that keyboard. Her hands go over that. I say, man, there's no way anyone could write all those notes down on a piece of paper. Where does she get those notes? And she plays it perfectly every time. Oh, it's amazing.
Hey, I got the next question for you.
Okay, go ahead, sock it to me.
Oh, boy. What were the first recorded words God ever spoke?
Ooh.
How far do you have to go back in the Bible to find that?
Hey, I can go all the way back to the beginning. In fact, I did go all the way back to the beginning. How about Genesis chapter 1? Okay. That's the beginning? That's the beginning.
At verse 1, too?
And verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, and the earth was formed without form, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the depth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light.
First thing he said. Wow.
Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5.
You couldn't have answered it any better.
I know. Well, you asked me a perfect question. Yeah, that one was easy.
Yay.
Now then, let me give you one that's not quite so simple. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Put your seatbelt on. All right. Does God have a favorite color?
Come on.
Yeah.
That's
does
not
God
even a, that's,
have
is that a
favorite
question?
Colors? Or, yeah, put an S on that word, colors. That's a good question. Now, I'll give you a hint. The Bible does give us some answers to that.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, now we'll see if you did your homework.
Okay.
Does God have a favorite color or favorite colors with an S? What do you think?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
That the rainbow God invented was full of color.
That's correct.
God did a lot of things with the tabernacle that he put in the wilderness with the people from Egypt, God's people. He made a veil of blue and purple and crimson and fine linen, and where they were white and green and blue and I guess every color is listed in the Bible. He had silver and gold and purple and jasper. Everything was colorful in God's kingdom. I love color. I have a favorite color. What's your favorite color, Gift?
I don't know. My favorite color? I don't know. I'd probably have to say green. Grass is green. Nature is green. Leaves are green. Money is green. Well, I had to throw that one in for you, Dave.
Oh,
green is, I think, is my favorite color. Okay, yes, green. Yes, I like green.
Hey, how about our engineer? Carla, what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
Purple.
Purple. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good color. And in fact, as a youngster, that was always my response. Purple, very soothing. Lavender and violet and all of those soothing different shades of purple. Good answer.
Royalty.
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 Ooh.
That's right. Royalty.
Well, we have a royal engineer here, don't we? Yes. Well, we're lucky to have
In Revelation, it talks about all kinds of colors that our new city will be built with. I don't know if I can even pronounce all the
yes.
The names of them.
Yeah, I'm not even going to attempt that either. But you're right, it's very colorful. And that's the nature of the question is, you know, does God have a favorite color? To illustrate the point that there are many bright and brilliant colors that we are faced with and learn to appreciate. You ever see all these various fish in the sea when you see these underwater TV programs? Birds of the air and fish of the sea that have all these bright, brilliant colors to them. Why doesn't it make you feel good to see that sort of thing? So I have an appreciation for that God does love color of all kinds, bright, brilliant colors. And I think Carla is right. Royalty with the brilliance of lavender and the purples and the blues that make you stop and look and think carefully of the beauty of the earth. I think that's just a wonderful thing.
You know, a couple of years ago, my wife bought me for Christmas.
What's that?
Lessons for painting. Painting pictures.
Oh, I forgot you were an artist. Boy,
I'm not an artist, but yes, I took her up on the, and I went down to the place where they have all these people painting.
Uh-huh.
And I went in that room and I was kind of embarrassed because I didn't know anything about making a picture.
Uh-huh.
And there's all these people been there for 10, 15 years and they were putting masterpieces on the I sheepishly walked in and went over to the place where they were going to let me sit, and I sat there just, and I thought the lady was going to help me. Yeah. Help me, show me what the paint for me and then I'll do it. Well, I'm going to, she came over, she said, "Dave, we don't show you. You have to show us."
Ooh.
She said, you just sit here for the next 30 minutes and whatever comes into your mind, you paint. Put it on the canvas. When she left me, she's going around talking to everybody. And I sat there and I could see her. She's coming close to me again. I didn't have anything on the board yet. Oh, my goodness. And I learned to appreciate colors.
Yes.
I learned red, orange, yellow, green,
oh, yeah.
Blue, purple, brown,
real
black,
fast,
and white. Yeah,
yeah.
I put them all there. After 6 weeks, I said, "This lady doesn't teach me anything. She wants me to do it, and then she tells me what's wrong with it."
Yes.
Well, that was goofy to me. Yeah. I didn't want to be an artist.
That wasn't the way you wanted to learn.
No way. And I still get a hankering when I get a couple hours to go down to my office and get out the paintbrush,
yeah,
and to put on a canvas. I found out that it's hard to paint little.
Yeah,
it's easy to paint big.
I know we have one of your large paintings right here in this radio studio. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and
it's huge.
I've given all my paintings away.
Have you?
As I painted, people walk and say, "Hey, Dave, you're a painter. I didn't know that." I said, "Yeah, you want this?" She said, "Oh, yeah, give it to me.
So you give them away?
Oh, yeah. Give them,
how about that?
I only have a couple in my house.
Well, you're a very talented painter. That one out here that we have in our studio is just absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah, so you have a talent there.
Well, it's you're asking me the question, what is God's favorite color?
Yeah.
I got 12 of them, I guess. The guy can say, this is the way you do it.
That's right. Well, that's very good. That's a good point. Well, I have another question for you, Dave. This one is much more to your liking because you are a pastor. That's why I like to quiz you, because I like your answers. Who is Jesus? Now, how about that for a good question for
Who's
a pastor?
Jesus?
Who is Jesus? Now, I think that's a question that... our listeners would want to hear a professional answer.
Got to go to Isaiah. Let's start with
Isaiah, yes.
Now, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yes. And that's an explanation of who the Son of God really is.
And you said that was out of Isaiah?
Isaiah chapter 9.
Old Testament, so it's before the birth of Christ. Yes. So that's powerful.
People are still asking the same question.
Oh, yeah.
2,000 years later, who is Jesus? It's probably more prominent right now because the church has moved away from the word of the Lord.
Yes.
We've talked ourselves out of reading it. That's why I wanted to talk about the 13 books that the Apostle Paul wrote, because we need to go back, because he has insight that nobody. That's why God put 13 books all from one man in the New Testament.
Yep.
And he wanted to say who Jesus was. Jesus said unto those who were talking to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's you always beautiful. Have to say, oh God, let me talk to your son, Jesus. And
that's beautiful scripture.
When God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow.
Is that powerful scripture? That's one of our listeners, I bet, could tell you where that's found in the Bible. That's probably one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. John 3:16 and 17.
Everybody knows
those verses, yes. Very powerful. Dave, that was a good answer to a question that is quite meaningful. Any other thoughts that you'd like to share? The Bible is full of those kinds of quotes of trying to entertain the question of who is Jesus? Any others you'd like to share?
There's a lot of scriptures about who is Jesus.
Yeah, there is.
People who ask that, I always want to say to them, mind just open up the Bible and just read. Somewhere along the line, it will come to you.
Yeah, it'll come to you pretty quick. That's right.
It is written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the believing ye might have life through his name. That's the book of John. Must be a fabulous book to read.
It is.
About who Jesus really is.
The letters to John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the same way, fall in the same category. Yes.
Whoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, who is he? He is the Christ.
He is the Christ.
Is born of God, and everyone who loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. He that hath the Son hath life, and that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you live without God, you don't go to church, you don't read the Bible, you hate the things that are spiritual, you do not know God, and you do not have life eternal.
Yep. I think that's clear throughout the entire New Scripture, New Testament.
Tough scriptures, but it's true.
It is very true. Yes, Jesus has sent my angels to testify unto you things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright in the morning star. Revelation chapter 22. Remember John writing that one as well.
That's who Jesus is.
Yes. From one end to the other of the New Testament, you're going to learn about Jesus and how Jesus is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Hey, we only have one more question.
Okay.
All
right.
I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Is Jesus the only way to get to God?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, I'm glad you gave me one that's very easy to respond to because we're out of time. Hey, when Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. I and my Father are one. John chapter 10. Verses 7, 9, and 30, they're combined. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. John 14, verse 6. You see, there's lots of answers. Jesus is the only way. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man of Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. David, my friend, I thank you for a very rewarding day. You've taught me quite a bit about the Scriptures and what it has to offer. But for now, I have to say bye-bye and keep smiling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.